Hello, everyone, and thank you for coming to Positively Camp. I first want to just say thank you to everyone who came to listen. I know that we all have really busy lives, so it means a lot to me that you guys take some time out of your life to listen to the things I have to share. So whether you're from Facebook, Instagram, wherever you're from, thank you so much for being here. All right, everyone. So we have a guest on our podcast today for our first Fitness Friday. So this is Corey. Why don't you introduce yourself, Corey?
What's up, everyone? So my name's Corey. I'm from Fresno, California. I moved to San Diego last year in March. I've been personally training in San Diego for nearly a year now. It's a beautiful city. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So today we're going to be talking about a variety of topics, but for the most part, I just have some questions prepared that I like to ask him. So first, what brought you to personal training?
Honestly, I got into personal training nearly a decade ago when I was going to school. I was going to college. I was at Long Beach State. I was a typical college kid. I was partying. I was partying a little too much. Got a little too indelved in certain things. Went down a couple bad paths. I started actually doing quite a bit of drugs. Wasn't until I kind of started to wake up and realized that, okay, fast forward a couple years of utilizing these drugs, all right? And then you wake up and it's like, all right, as much as you want to admit you don't have a problem, you kind of have a problem. So what did I look? I looked for an outlet. I looked for something that was going to turn a negative into a positive. And I found the gym, so I started to work out. I started to train myself. So I like to equate it. Instead of getting high on other drugs, now I get high on my own supply. So
that's so awesome.
Releasing endorphins, releasing the same chemicals I was releasing, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, etc., that I was releasing via these other synthetic drugs. Now I don't need it. I can create it on my own. But fast forward a little bit, I didn't necessarily want to train throughout that 10 years because I didn't want to get burnt out. I was working in municipal governments, working with kids in after school programs. I taught English in Thailand. I went down a few different paths because I'm a recreation major from Long Beach State. So my background was mainly recreation, mainly working with kids, wanted to be a positive role model. But then I moved to San Diego and I decided that I saw too many people giving up their health for monetary gain. And I kind of wanted to show them that how health could actually heighten all that. It can heighten your community. It can heighten your work life. It can heighten your friendship, your relationships with other people.
That's so valuable. Like, a lot of people don't realize how important their health is. They prioritize everything else in their life and they put their health absolutely last when it should be the absolute first thing, because you can't get anywhere in your life. You can't physically be there and be your best self if your body isn't healthy first.
Mm-hmm. And a quote of mine, health is wealth. So like, I used to always tell people, I've been vegan for nearly half a decade now. So people ask me these questions, like I tell them I'd rather pay now. I'll pay the extra for the groceries. I'll pay the extra for the organic. I'll go out of my way to pay for this now as opposed to paying for it later in medical bills. So I can consider myself, mm-hmm. like I didn't always have the most financial, like the biggest financial backing, but I always had my health at the end of the day. So I consider my health to be the wealthy portion of me. I felt like people have this paper illusory, okay, this paper money, right, this fiat based currency, whereas I've got my health, okay, so I'll take that and longevity over the other.
That's an incredible way to look at it. I think that it's crazy because as history changes, like our society changes, our culture changes, but something that never will change is the need to be healthy. No matter where you are from, no matter what generation you're born in, no matter what time period you've come from, you know what I mean? Like, people in the 1950s did not prioritize their health. So now you look years and generations later, and it totally is reflected on them, and they've all had like a shorter life expectancy. And I think it's really interesting now how our culture is slowly shifting towards being a little bit more open-minded about health. Not necessarily everybody's jumping on the healthy lifestyle bandwagon, but I do know that I've noticed just being in San Diego, listening to people in line, they're ordering slightly healthier things. They're saying, oh, you know, I'm trying this new thing, and people are being a little bit more open-minded. So as a vegan, especially for half a decade, what brought you to being a vegan? Like, other than just being healthy, is there anything else that really like made it seem like a no-brainer to you?
All right, so backstory to originally why I became vegan, I mentioned earlier I taught English in Thailand.
Yep.
So I was a meat eater. I moved to Thailand in 2013, October 2013 on Halloween. Prior to that, the person I was dating at the time mentioned to me that I was having this consciousness shift, and I was going to vegan restaurants with her prior to leaving. But it wasn't until I left and when I was eating meat, backstory, I didn't eat red meat so much. I was more like a turkey eater, chicken eater, things along those lines. So when I moved to Thailand in October, everything, all the food that's made there is on carts. It's in the sun for long periods of time. Like, I didn't know how long it'd been sitting out there for. So many things came to mind. Like, I questioned so many things. And I started to feel like my energy, I was feeling lethargic more often. I felt my moods being real low, my energy levels really low. So from October to about January 7th, I was eating meat. And then January 7th of 2014, I just woke up and I decided, hey, I'm going to try vegetarian. I'm not going to cut out eggs and I'm not going to cut out cheese. Because in Thailand, it's really difficult with the cultural.
I
already have the language barrier. So then when I tell them I'm not going to eat meat.
Pad Thai, my favorite food, but it has eggs in it.
Yeah.
So being vegan is so hard, like, sometimes, because it's like, I just want to have it, like, traditionally, but I just make them cut it out, so I make them put extra peanuts on it. Side note.
Yeah, so I was telling them, like, they're like, well, what? You don't eat meat? And they really love their pork there. They really love certain things that I wasn't even eating to begin with. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, they're like, you don't eat meat. Where are you getting your protein from? So that being said, they're already that mind state out there in other countries as opposed to here. I was like, wow, you guys, it's reached this far. I thought it was just the States people sitting here inquiring about that. So I was like, in my head, I was like, well, no, I eat eggs. I eat, that's how I get my protein. So just to let them, kind of get them to leave me alone, because I can't explain as to why I go fully in depth. Well, the nutrient density here, you don't need this here, etc. It was already hard enough for me to, like, get basic things in regards to, like, exchanging information and talking to them.
It's hard because, as human beings, most of the time, like, across all cultures, we're taught that we need meat in order to survive. And I understand that it's still a very big limiting belief that a lot of people hold. And I'm not saying that every single person that eats meat is bad, but I definitely think that there's a certain bit of guilt that we all feel inside us. And a lot of people just push it down so far that they don't identify with it, and they, you know, don't maybe even identify what that feeling is, and they don't realize what their qualms can be with eating meat. And I've known many people that have been inspired by my choice to be a vegetarian, and I'm mostly vegan, but there's times where, like, I'll eat mac and cheese because there's nothing else on the menu and I want to go out with my friends. Like, there's choices you make socially, but I mean, I don't eat meat. I just don't. And I've had a friend who actually worked on a farm. And, like, they were cattle farmers and dairy farmers, and she doesn't eat meat, and she's completely vegan. She does, like, the day of cheese, everything, and it's amazing. And I'm so inspired by that, because at first, when I first brought it up to her, she was like, I literally live on a farm. There's no way. And now she's, like, super open-minded to it, and she's totally changed her lifestyle. And she's even, you know, rubbing off on her partner. So I think that we all have the capability of finding the, you know, the right balance for ourselves. Maybe some people just, like, I started out like you did, like, with not eating red meat. I will not eat pork. Like, that's the one thing I just could never do. I always thought pork was super gross. And then I cut out chicken and turkey. And then I moved on to cutting out fish and seafood, you know? And it takes a process, and I think that might be the way people most do it, because they feel that they have this idea that they still need it. Like, they just hold on to that, and they can't let go, so they just slow. They say, well, this animal is less big, you know? It's, like, smaller. Mm. Well, less big. this animal's smaller, or maybe large. Their brains are smaller, and that's how people justify it. But eventually, you stop justifying yourself. And I think we've all, once you hit the point where you're able to be an actual vegetarian, like, you just stop justifying it and you just stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How did you go through that process? Like, what was it like for you?
So, well, let me finish, like, from January I became vegetarian.
Yeah.
And I moved back to the States in May 15th, 2014. And then that day, moving back to the States, was like, I'm going 100% vegan. Like, it's prevalent in the States, and I have all these choices, all these options. Mm-hmm. So then, boom. And since then, I have never looked back. There's been times where, like, in the social settings where you're saying that you go ahead and succumb to mac and cheese, like, I'm forced in these settings, knowing my family is full of meat eaters. Everyone around me doesn't live the same lifestyle I live. So it's difficult to go and have a gathering. I mean, but
I bet that's hard to not be able to connect with your family in that way, because food is such a way to, like, connect with our soul. Like, it's a way we feed our brains and our minds. Like, we feed all of our senses with food, mm-hmm. you know? So when we can't connect with our families that way, that's really hard. Like, I know if I experienced that myself.
Yeah, my mom was dead. Like, I felt like I broke my mom's heart, because every time I would go home to visit, she's the type that she wants to send me with something. She knows I was into fitness even when I wasn't vegan, but she would still, like, make me brownies and cookies. I'm like, Mom, you're killing me. You're just destroying my diet here, but I'll do this because I love you. And now, like, every time I go home, she's like, I can't make you anything. I feel terrible. I want to do something for you. I was like, Mom, I just am coming to see you. I love you. Don't worry about that. You know what I mean? And I try mm-hmm. to put her on to the alternatives, but I had two grandparents that were both doctors and pediatricians, and I don't have a doctorate, so she won't take my word for certain things. They've embedded certain things in her mind, the generational gap. It's really hard to, I found the only way for me to shift somebody's paradigm or to actually expose somebody to veganism is actually just taking them to a restaurant, let them try it. Because a lot of the times people think they're like, what do you eat? What are you, a rabbit? You just eat lettuce and carrots. I'm like, no, like anything that you eat in the meat world, there's a mock meat to it. It's still a process to it. Not necessarily the healthiest choice, because health in general, you want to have the most minimal processed foods in your body as possible. I recommend.
Yeah, you don't even need those, honestly. Like the most processed thing you really could, you know, suffice with this tofu, because there's like 1,000 ways to use it. Mm-hmm. Like tofu is endless because it's tasteless, like has like basically no flavor, and it's just like, I know it's soy and some people have their issues with soy, but I mean there's so many alternatives, but I think that tofu is the most versatile, and like you don't even need to eat all of those processed meats. I've even tried them, and they're, some of them are pretty good, but it's like I didn't even feel, I was like, I could have totally made it without this.
Yeah, it's not a necessity, but it's good for those people that are on the fence and they're barely just they trying to
transition,
that transitional
still.
Stage. Like yeah. Then it's like me, I fine tuned my diet. So like I'm very consistent. I meal prep every 4 days. I kind of just go, what if it isn't broke, don't fix it. I kind of just do the same thing over and over. I've switched it here and there depending on like my budget and how much money extra I've got to spend, etc. Like how I'm feeling. Am I trying to gain more weight? Am I trying to maintain? It just varies in regards to like how it's conducive to the goals I currently have, whether it's fitness, whether in life, whether it's health, whatever it may be.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. So how do you think that being vegan has affected you as an athlete? Because you said that you've always been into fitness. So when you made that transition, how did you feel it affected your athletic performance?
In all honesty, I lifted heavier and I feel stronger than I've ever felt in my entire life. And people sit like are surprised by that. But it may or may not be a point to the same extent, like my ego kind of takes over and it's like, well, I kind of want to show these people that you don't necessarily need it, right? I was like, listen, you're going to sit here and shun me because I'm a vegan, telling me I'm not strong, I'm not big. First of all, I'm not big by choice. I don't want to be big. I want to be able to control my body and utilize my body for certain things. Like I want to be able to handstand whenever I want. I want to be able to just move my body and just have fun and go outside and do stuff. Like I'm not prepping for a bodybuilding show like a lot of people around me. I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to live life and be prepared for anything that kind of life throws at me. So
everybody thinks they're in shape until they have to move all their furniture from their apartment.
Right.
It's like you want to be able to like do your life in the best way. So being fit isn't just about like competing. And I like that you said that, because a lot of people that I know that I have for health coaching clients, they're worried about working out because they're like, well, I'm not doing anything. Why can't I just eat right? And they forget the importance of involving movement with it. And that's why I include like my yoga services, so that they're able to, you know, gain that kind of mobility, so that when they do go to the gym, they feel a lot better about it and they have more of a mind-body connection already.
I love that, because if you think about it, so they like ask you like, how, when do I not need to move? Well, okay, if you want to keep your teeth healthy, when do you not want to brush your teeth? Like equate that to the same thing. You should move every day. You should brush your teeth every day. Move multiple times if need be. People tell you brush your teeth after every meal, right? Mm-hmm. So equate that to your health. Your health is just as important as your hygiene health, your physical health. So I need to move my body at least once, twice, all the time. We're walking, we're forward moving creatures. Like we've created these sedentary behaviors. Evolutionarily, all we are is energy, saving energy to go get energy for more energy. Now,
yes. We have
energy basically at our this. At our freedom. Like I can just sit here and drive in a car, utilize no energy to go pick up some energy, and now this energy is going to sit. I'm not utilizing any energy to exude the energy I just consumed. So then that's why we've got these obesity epidemics, and then we've got like just, I mean, society is breeding sedentary behavior, unfortunately. Like there's a lot of jobs that we can take out and we can automate, and we don't necessarily need them for people to be more creative and do certain things. Like I'm venturing down this other path and we're on veganism, but yeah,
well, I think creativity is incredible, and I like the idea of automating a lot of things, because like our society lacked creativity for so long. Everything was so rigid and so structured, and people were always trying to be like each other. And I love that our entire culture has shifted to being a little bit more open to being different. Like, for example, I dyed my hair red, and that doesn't seem like a big deal, but if you would have done that in the 1950s, they would have looked at you like, what in the world? Mm. I use it as an example because I like to compare within like 50 to 60 years away our culture shifts, because that's something we can see in a lifetime. So if you think about how it's changed so quickly, I mean, I think it's amazing that we've opened up the opportunities for creativity. I actually just went to this Traffic and Conversion Summit, and it's a digital marketing platform, and this kind of thing would never have existed 10 years ago because we didn't even have this kind of technology. But now, like, there's an entire culture of digital marketing, like marketing people through the internet and any kind of technology. And there were so many different kinds of things. There were people there that were vendors for products that you could white label. There were people there to teach you how to put a little pop-up on your website to say 10 people are buying this right now. Like, there's so many new things and new ideas that are out there that we can utilize now because we've allowed a lot of other things to be, you know, turned into like an electronic system, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it's great because when it comes to things like working out, like, you can have some of the, like, imagine if we had to create all of our own tools and you didn't even have workout equipment. That is a form, like, not necessarily technology, but that's a tool that we've created. And if you think about the way they considered working out to be years ago, like, remember those, you see pictures of women with like this strap around them as they sit on this platform and it just shakes and that's supposed to make them lose weight. Oh, wow. They really thought that was a real workout. There was just not the science and technology to back it up. Like, they just didn't know. And they considered that a workout. Mm. And now we have true technology and we have, like, you know, things that can measure your body fat to help you understand what your body is. Because there's people that are, like, you know, the skinny fat, yep. where they're super little and they're not really obese, but they're not in shape whatsoever. But they've never thought about their health because they thought skinny was being healthy.
And they're internally fat. Mm-hmm. And I deal with that because people look at me and they look at me and you're skinny. You don't realize how much work you put in to get where you're at. Just because you're skinny doesn't conduce you have abs. That doesn't make mm-hmm. sense in that aspect. You have to, abs are made in the kitchen. You really are very diligent. I'm very diligent about what I put in my body, and I know exactly how what I put in my body affects me. Based on, I consider myself a human guinea pig because of the fact that if I know that I eat so diligently that if I implement one new thing in me, I can feel how it affects my body, mm-hmm. whether it affects my mood, whether it clouds my brain, whether it makes me feel a little bit bloated, whether or not, there's so many aspects of it because I know that. And I try to recommend to people, like, one thing at a time if you're going to implement something or take something out. See how
yes.
it affects you.
I teach this to my healthcare clients too because you need to have a consistent system. Like, it's just like when we do scientific experiments in high school. You know what I mean? We have our control group so we can compare things to it. So if you have such a variety in your diet to the point where you can't introduce something new and know what it does to your body, then there's really no way to know what's good or bad for you. So I do this food sensitivities program where I have people, they do like a specific elimination diet, and people tell me what their symptoms are. Like, they explain, like, oh, I have acne, I have bloating, whatever it is, and then I find out what kinds of foods based on my list. I have like a database, and I type in my symptoms, and it brings up several foods that could be in their diet, and then I have them write a food journal for a week. They come back, tell me what they're eating, and then I can identify what foods, and then I can eliminate it. So it's a really good system, and it's kind of the same thing. Like, I like that you're already doing that because that's something that a lot of people don't realize. Like, I like that you do the 4-day meal planning and that everything's super consistent when you're like, don't reinvent the wheel. If it works, it works. And that's just such a good system. Like, that's so valuable, and I'm so glad people are hearing this right now because, you know, when you hear it from me, you're like, okay, Kim has her idea. But when you hear it from someone, like, I just met him today. I was really excited because I was having watching him on following you on social media, and I've been watching what you post about. So that's kind of how I choose the people I invite as guests, because I want people that I align with. And I was like, this guy knows what he's talking about. So I love that you're living the lifestyle. I love that you're sharing it with people. And I love that you have a firm understanding of what you're doing. Mm. That is so good. Because with the Instagram culture too, there are so many people out there that are fake.
Oh, yeah.
Really, they don't know what they're doing.
It's a highlight reel of people's lives. And that's, so like, let me go into, I call myself the Zealous Coach. And Zealous Health and Fitness is my company. And the word zeal, break it down. It's great, great enthusiasm or great excitement towards a cause. And I'm very passionate about what I do. my logo's a turtle. So, and my tagline is don't rush greatness. Here's why. A lot of people want this instant gratification.
That's so cool.
Instant
a turtle. No.
It's slow and steady wins the race. Little incremental progression every single day is going to go a long way. You know, foresight, you don't see that. But in hindsight, you look back, you're like, wow, an inch over, you know what I mean? An inch for 12 days, that's a foot. Think about that, you know? Like, think about how far you go. Don't think about right now. Think about, like, well, think about right now. Embrace it, but to the same extent, realize that this work you're putting in is going to be for a greater cause. So as I try to remind people, it's like, we're not going to rush to this finish line. Life is a marathon. So you got to make this a lifestyle. You got to make a lifestyle out of it like I have. So, but it takes time and it takes work and it takes discipline, because motivation will subside you. You know, like, motivation's temporary, but discipline is, that's what you create on your own. It's self-discipline. And again, like, having to do these things, I don't do these things because I want to. Like, I know that I have to uphold the life that I live. Like, I've set this in stone. I feel great. Why give this up? Because I've done the other and I've gotten out of my cycle. I've gotten out of my routine and I don't feel the same. Like, I wake up, tangent a little bit, I wake up, my morning routine is like meditate in the morning. First thing I do, I tell myself today's going to be the greatest day of my life, and I make my bed and I'm getting ready to go. Nice. I brush my teeth, I drink some water, I set some intentions for the day, I meditate and say some affirmations, and then I start my day. I wake up an hour and a half earlier than I need to be at work. Why do I do that? Because I have to be attentive and I want to make sure that I'm good for me, fill my cup before I go to fill the cup of others. I can't sit here.
Have you read the book, How Full Is Your Bucket?
I've not.
That's what it sounds like, because they talk about that. So if you're listening right now, read the book, How Full Is Your Bucket? Because this is what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's because it's so necessary for me. Like, I realize, because in my, a staple in my training, people, first questions I ask them, do you have any aches and pains for today? How many hours of sleep did you get? Because I want to know recovery-wise, how well are you rested? And then what's your energy level, scale of 1 to 10 when you walk in, before, and then when you leave? I want to make sure that that number is either equatable to the same exact number you started with or greater. I want it to be better, ultimately, but I'm realizing at least it never drops below. Because what I find is people always tell me they leave better than they came in. And that to me is, I served today. I did very good today. I did my due diligence, you know?
You did. You definitely did.
And that puts a smile on my face. That keeps me going. That if I didn't need money to live in society, I would continue to do this because I love helping people. I love seeing people happier, healthier. And it's so important to me. And to be able to share that with other people is a beautiful thing.
That's great. There's actually something you said before that I'd really like to touch on. When you talked about discipline, I'd like you to kind of explain to people maybe the difference between, like, motivation and discipline. Because a lot of people think, like, oh, I'm just not a motivated person. I can't do it. Like, I have to be super motivated. And, like, they see me because I'm a high-energy person. And they're like, well, you're so motivated. Of course you can do it. And they can't understand the difference between being disciplined when you don't feel motivated and you do it anyways, and when you're motivated and you do it just because you feel good right now. Maybe explain how you think that affects your clientele and how you maybe help them work through that.
Well, okay, so for instance, as of late, so for me, coming in motivated, if I go to work out, like, I work out every day. Okay, not every day am I waking up and I'm so excited to work out. There's days that I'm like stoked, like, yes, I get to crush a workout today. Yes, I get to go kill it. But then there's days where you wake up like, I'm tired. I'm not feeling it. I'm feeling lethargic. I'm like just not feeling myself. But those days is really where I got to work out the most, really, because then you find yourself getting this negative thought pattern for the most part. Because once one thing, like, kind of, for me, if I don't work out, I don't release my endorphins, so I don't feel very well, right? I'm training a client. He's going to have his first pro debut as an MMA fighter, nice. March 29th for Bellator. And so, equatable, he despises strength and conditioning. Despise it. He loves striking, he loves jiu-jitsu, but when it comes to working with him out, working out with me or training with me, he doesn't like it. But he comes in, he puts in the work, and he knows the work has to be done, and he knows that it's only going to benefit him, and he knows that everything I put him through is going to help him get better and stronger. It's only going to heighten what he already has going on, and he understands that, because every single day.
So it's kind of like tying your why into everything that you do. Like, mm-hmm. Even if you don't like it, you have to have that why there present in your mind when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to really, okay, just because I feel this way today, what is my why? Why did I begin this? Why did I start? Look at where I came. Okay, I didn't want to do this. Like, when I first started working out, it sucked. It sucked like crazy. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea, like, what muscle I'm trying to work out. I'm just in here moving and mirroring. Monkey see, monkey do. Whatever somebody else does, I'm going to sit here and maybe it looks like it works. Let me go ahead and try that. It wasn't until you, like, kind of really get into something, passionate about something, you want to learn. Like, I'm a student of life. I love everything about learning. And for me, being able to learn how to do it right, learn from people that have been doing it for years. Like, even being as a personal trainer, I'm still barely in this game as an entrepreneur or personal trainer. So I got to find somebody who's doing what I want to do and figure out how they went about it. But that's a drive.
Like, you're like the sum of the five people you spend the most time with.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. I preach the crap out of that because it's so true. Like, if you're not around people that are going to make you grow, like, if you're the smartest person in the room, get the heck out of that room, find a new one, and find a place where you feel like you know nothing. Because then you will learn something that day, and you will change and grow and develop yourself as a person. And develop your skills, depending on where you are and who you're with.
I would take that a little bit further. Like, if I'm in a room and I'm the smartest person in the room, I would try to educate those people to bring to the same level. But if they're not receptive of it, then I wouldn't. Because you never know. Like, so for me, being in a gym where there's 30 plus trainers, I want to make every trainer in that gym better based on the fact that if they get better, I get better. I can't get better if other people. So training jiu-jitsu, if I'm training with the same teammates consistently and none of us get better, I don't get better. So if I get better to get you better and then you get me better, it's just going to continue that. Keeps that ball rolling. True. Just keeps going.
Yeah, it's literally like a ladder. Like, you take one step, they take a step above you. You take one step, they take another step above you, and you continually, like, you know, build on each other. That's so powerful.
I think it should be equatable to life. Like, life, we live in the perceptual dog-eat-dog world. I lived in Thailand with stray dogs. They don't eat each other. They work as a pack, and they go find food together. I think that
That is so... I've never heard someone use that as a good example, but I love hearing that. I gotta, like, stop you for a second. That is awesome, and just say, like, that's a good example, because so many people think that, like, tearing other people's down... I cannot speak. Some people think that tearing other people down is actually better, and it's how they're gonna win, but really, you win when you have a whole group of people with you working together towards the same goal.
It takes a team, and I think that we're disassociated. Like, social media is a beautiful thing, but it's disconnected us, right? Like, I think that we rise together. We should be a one cohesive unit. It takes a village. Like, we are tribal beings, and we've decided to individualize ourselves, which is great. It's great that I see so many ideas and so much creativity, but, like, pick some of the brains of the most successful people. They say the max salary cap after $75,000 per year, you're not any happier in between then and, like, 250 plus a year, right? So
true.
Money is not equatable to happiness. Yeah, it's like, it makes no sense. Like, I'd rather have my health and be happy, you know, than have all this money. I can't eat the money at the end of the day. Like, I'd rather be connected to the people I'm connected to, have this strong community, you know, have people around me that genuinely care and love me and know who I am as a human being, right? Just, like, so much benefit behind that. Like, that connection to me...
That's what makes you feel fulfilled. I mean, this, like, I've never had a lot of money, but honestly, my life is great. Like, I have great people in my life. I've experienced so many really cool things, and, like, they always have come in the most unexpected ways. You know, it didn't happen because I just made a bunch of money, was able to buy something. It's always through a connection I made with someone, or, like, this whole thing that I just went to. It was totally because I made a connection with another model, and she couldn't make it, and she had me do the job. And I got to experience this incredible thing that I had been manifesting for a long time through my meditation. I've been asking for that opportunity for a really long time, and then here it came. Right into my life, and I never would have expected that it would have happened that way, but that's just the way it goes. So you have to open yourself up to those kinds of things, and you need to constantly experience new stuff. But you don't have to have a lot of money to do it. It's not about money.
Oh, most certainly it is not. You can't take it with you when you go anyways.
Well, what is one last thing that you'd like to say? Like, if you could have, like, your last word, and and if it could really resonate, because most of the time when they listen, like, they remember the first thing you say and the last thing you say. So what is the most impactful thing that you could leave with them?
Be patient with yourself, and speak less, listen more. I've found that I really love, as much as I love stimulating conversations, I'm learning to listen more often than I am trying to speak. Because I want to listen with intent to understand. The more you understand people, a lot of people have a lot of great things to say. And if you just listen, even to yourself, your body's talking to you every day. Mm-hmm. You know, just tune in and just be you, love you, and be patient, and
At the end of the day, it's just about being yourself. It's just about living your own path and not worrying about what other people expect of you, not worrying about, like, even your own expectations for yourself. Sometimes just stop worrying about it. Like, just do your thing, and if it feels good, just do it. You know, I'm not talking about, like, drugs, you know, if it's like, oh, that's gonna feel great, do it. I mean, like, if you think that you want to go take a walk on the beach instead of meeting someone for lunch, like, explain to them, hey, I think I actually really need to cancel, I need some time for myself, and then you go and you do it and you feel great. And you need to listen, like you said, listen to your body, and you need to listen to what kind of cues are being put out there in the universe, because you are constantly being guided through your own path. There is no mystery to life. Like, it is constantly being laid out there right in front of you. You just have to pay attention, you know?
And slow down, too, because as you just mentioned, the universe is listening to you, and the universe is listening to everything you call out. So if you're too far ahead of yourself, you're not allowing the universe to catch up to what you put out there. So be mindful of that and be patient and allow that to come to you, because I've suffered from that myself, like going down too many different paths and realizing, hey, like, let something catch up, you know? See, like... Okay.
Develop things one at a time, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was like, in Peru, I did ayahuasca, and she told me basically, hey, go down one path. Stop going down so many different paths and go ahead and just see one path through and go through that one path. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to spread to other people. You don't need to go do these substances that I've done to try to transform and transcend myself, but just take it from somebody that's trying to live it as well. You know, that's why it's important to be patient, and patience is very imperative. It's a virtue, most certainly.
I like that you didn't use your previous drug use as a way to say, look at my rags to riches story. You used it as like, this is an experience, this is a path I had in my life, and I chose a different path, and that's okay. A lot of people try to like live off that one accomplishment, and they say, look at this one terrible thing, or whatever, however you want to view it, thing that I did in my life. You know, I'm not just talking about drugs, a lot of people have their different things that they think were just horrible, and they just say, look, I did this one thing, like, you know, I could live off the fact for my whole life that I just moved from Michigan to California, and I could say that's my thing that I did, and now I've accomplished the greatest thing, so now I'm just going to kind of float through. Like, don't let the things that you've overcome, no matter how great they are, limit you to like to stop continuing to do new things. Like, you need to continually become the better person, because if those things seem huge to you, imagine how many other things that are like monumental, that are gigantic, much bigger than the things you've already accomplished, that you can handle. Because if those things will feel so small if you continue to build, because those are just experiences to build you up for a greater thing. So don't limit yourself.
Yeah, that's one chapter in your book. And yeah, definitely be easy on yourself and realize that there's going to be another thing that's going to come, and you're going to overcome that. You've overcome every bad day so far.
Like, look at Corey. He's got his business going on, and he's doing all of those things, and he could have just said, oh, I'm doing fine now, and he could just be floating through, but he's building something still. He's building something insane. Well, he's actually already, like, built it, and he's just doing it, honestly.
So he's much.
Past the building it part.
Yeah, still building. Still never not building. The coach in me and the person in me, I feel like I'm not doing enough. So that just goes to show you that I'm also trying to learn to be patient with myself, because I realize that Rome wasn't built in a day. So you got to understand that this is a long time. I'm looking for the perennial. I want a very long thing, long term, marathon or marathon. I'm saying that to y'all, but I'm reminding myself to the same extent. Because I, like every other human being on this planet, I rush certain things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, that's when you need to really sit with yourself and be like, well, what is the reason? Why do I feel this way? You know, and why did what is in the realm of my control today? What can I control and what can I not control? Okay, if I can control this, I can do X, Y, and Z today. We're going to do that today. What can I not do? I can't do that? That's not affecting me. We're leaving that over there. Let's go ahead and revisit that when
so
we come
important.
With something else.
Yeah. Sometimes it's okay to leave something for tomorrow, but you have to be doing something today for you, like, to replace it. Like, there has to be a reason.
Trust the process, but also put in the work.
I like it. All right, everybody. So that's enough for us today. We both have some stuff we need to get to. He's got some clients to work at, and I have a conference that I need to go to. So I really thank you all for being here and listening to us today. So, Corey, say goodbye.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. And you guys can catch me at Zealous Coach on Instagram.
Thank you. I was going to have you shout yourself out.
Yeah.
So Zealous.
Yes.
Zealous Coach. Awesome. And look for the
All
turtle.
One word.
Yeah, he's got this whole grayscale look going on. I was going to say, look for the gray outfit. He's probably going to post something today.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you guys next week.